Corey, yes, our visitors, pleasure to hear. We do want to invite everyone to stay for our fellowship dinner. We always have plenty of food and we always have a wonderful time just having a meal together. We do this about once a quarter, I guess, and the next one probably be our Christmas party that will happen in December. But if you can stay today, hope that you will, and just share the time with us and just get to know each other a little bit better. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for your word, the Bible. We know that your word is truth. We know anything that disagrees with it is false. We know that you are a God of truth, that everything you say is true, that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. We are thankful, Father, that we can have your book that reveals your love and your desire to be in fellowship with us, and how to obey the gospel, and how to live the Christian life. Bless us, Father, as we study, but must always remember how much you love us. We pray in Jesus' name, and amen. We have two scriptures we want to read this morning for a scripture reading. The first is in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We're going to begin at verse number 39. Luke 22, begin at verse number 39. It says, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. But when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it was great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Now the second passage we want to read is over in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Then we're going to begin at verse number 36. Matthew 26, begin at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, this cup may not pass away from me, except that I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and said to them, sleep on now, take your rest, behold, the hour is at hand, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. I think it's very evident that in all the struggles and problems of life, everyone needs encouragement. Everyone is going to have problems. Everyone's going to have troubles. Jesus, in these two readings we have, is in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is called the Garden over in John chapter 18. The word Gethsemane itself means oil press. And likely this was a place where they would harvest the olives, those the olive trees there, and press them for oil. It was on the Mount of Olives. It was very close to the city of Jerusalem, not a long ways away from it. And Jesus often went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's here this night, just before he's about to be betrayed by Judas, just before he's about to go through the trials and go through the persecution, go through the crown of thorns and all the things that he will have to endure before he goes to the cross. It is a time of intense pain. It says here in Luke 22 that he was in agony. In Matthew it says he was about to be sorrowful. And you really see the humanity of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the question I asked this morning, have you been in Gethsemane? We have many different things that happen in our lives. Life is full of trouble. Job said in Job 14, verses 1 and 2, man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Life is going to have problems. You might have the Gethsemane of grief. You might have lost a loved one, even not recently, but in some years past, or maybe a long time ago, and you still suffer the hurt and the pain that loss. Well, the Bible talks about having that kind of sorrow. Yet Paul told the Christians in 1 Thessalonians 4 that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. Because Christians die and they go to be with the Lord, we have that great hope. Maybe your Gethsemane was the problem of illness. Maybe you're like Hezekiah back in the book of 2 Kings chapter 20. We had this intense illness and pain and begged, pleaded for God to deliver him from it. And God did, gave him 15 more years of life. Maybe your Gethsemane is a personal loss. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's the loss of a marriage partner. Maybe it's the loss of a friend. Maybe somebody just turned their back on you. Maybe you've had someone betray you. All kinds of things can happen and be the Gethsemanes of our life. Maybe there is this Gethsemane of loneliness. Maybe nothing real specific, but just we have a feeling of being lonely in life. What I want us to do this morning is look and see what Jesus did when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what Jesus did on this occasion gives us an insight into how we are to handle the problems, the difficulties, and troubles that come our way in life. First of all, when we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's concerned about others. He tells Peter, James, and John that they are to watch and pray. And it certainly is the case that when you are having your own problems, if you look into other people's problems and difficulties and trials, then it's going to help you. It's going to help you because you think more about their situation and the things that they are going through than your own. It will seem to lift yours just a little. It may not take it away. It may not eliminate it, but it will help to lift the burden. And when you start thinking about somebody else, praying for them, being concerned about them, that's the first thing Jesus did. He was concerned about Peter, James, and John in this situation. Secondly, and it is very obvious, while Jesus was in Gethsemane, he prayed. In fact, the Bible says he agonized in prayer. And that word agonized comes from a Greek word, agonizomai, which means severe emotional strain and anguish. He was doing this in prayer. Now, sometimes in life, people say, well, I don't know what else to do. I might as well pray. I can't do anything else. Well, that's got it backwards. If Jesus needed to pray in the most important time of his life, shouldn't we pray at the times when we have troubles and problems and difficulties also? If our Lord needed to pray, certainly we do. Jesus taught much about prayer. He said in Luke chapter 18, the men ought always pray and not faint. And many translations now say that they should not give up. And that's what happens in life, that the problems and the struggles and the difficulties get so overwhelming, people just want to give up. And the problem we have in our country, one of the major problems we have, is the problem of suicide. I read a statistic the other day that in the last 3 years, the incidence of suicide has gone up every single year in America. And certainly people just seem to say, well, there's nothing left for me. Why go on? Why try to solve the problems, difficulties? I'll just take my life and end it all. No, don't do that. You need to remember that there is God, and that God will help you, and that if you go to God in prayer, God will give you the strength that you need to face that particular problem. James said, if any suffer, let him pray, James 5 and verse 13. We need to remember that prayer is God's weapon to use in the handling the troubles and the difficulties of life. And thirdly, we see that in the incidents with Jesus, he looked to his friends. He took friends with him to the Garden of Gethsemane, the three men that seemed to be the closest in the 12 apostles, Peter, James, and John. And he took them with him while he went to pray to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. And friends can help, friends can sustain when we are facing our Gethsemane as well. We need to remember that friends can disappoint us. Jesus' friends disappointed him. He wanted them to be awakened so that when he would come back from his prayers, he would be able to be sustained by their fellowship. But they weren't. They were asleep. And a friend can disappoint you. A friend may let you down. That can happen in life. You don't give up on the friendship. You don't turn your back on them. But you just realize the fact that that can happen. Because people are human. People make mistakes. People can disappoint. And you just realize that that does happen in life. But friends can also help you. In fact, the book of Proverbs says a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born to adversity. And so we need to have friends. I've heard people say, well, I've got this particular problem, but I don't want anybody to know about it. I don't want anybody to be aware of the fact that I've got this particular difficulty, this particular problem. Well, I can understand confidentiality. I can understand people don't want someone to look down on them or to think ill of them. That's true. But the fact of the matter is, when you have a problem, you need a friend or friends that you can go to, talk to them in confidence, unburden your heart, be able to talk to them about your troubles, your problems, and be able to just say, look, I just need some help. Just pray for me. Just pray for me. And that's what Jesus wanted with the apostles here. But they weren't. They were asleep. But we do need to look to our friends. Fourthly, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went and looked for solitude. And that's something that we don't seem to think much about today. But it says that he went to be apart for a time. And there are times when you just need to be apart with you and the Lord. You need to just think, you know, what do I need to say to God to handle this problem? What do I need to do to pour my heart out to God? Yes, we need to be with friends at times, but there are times when we need to just be alone with God. In fact, Isaiah said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Quite often the phrase is used in the book of Psalms, be still and know that I am God. Go to God privately. If you don't do that now, you ought to develop a period of time in your life, in your day. Maybe it's the beginning of the day, maybe it's the end of the day, maybe it's the middle of the day, maybe it's sometime just the middle of the afternoon, whatever, but you need to have a time where just you and God are sitting there and you are pouring your heart out to God. Maybe it's for your family. Maybe it's for your friends. Maybe it's for the church. Maybe it's for our country. Maybe it's for the election. Maybe it's for other situations that you might know about. Maybe it's for the missionaries that we're supporting here at Oliver. You just need to pour out your heart to God and say, Lord, I just want to let you know this is what's on my mind. I just want you to ask your help. I want to pray for this person and that person and this person and that person. Just take your bulletins. Take all the sick people that are listed in the bulletin. All those people that need our help as well. We need to be alone with God. If you haven't developed that, start today. Get a time, a place where you can be by yourself, with you and God. And just say, Lord, just I want to ask your help. I just want to tell you what problems I've got and ask for your help. We need the time of solitude. And fifthly, ultimately, Jesus accepted God's will. Three times he resigns himself to God's will and says, not my will, but thine be done. The fact of the matter is, we need to look at that example of Jesus. It says over in the book of Hebrews that he, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Now, there's a lot of things that that verse might imply. But the fact of the matter is, there was a certain joy that Jesus was going to have at the end of that suffering, at the end of all that he was doing. But he had to go through intense pain and suffering to do the Father's will. And we may have to do that as well. It may be that God wants us to experience some pain, some suffering, to appreciate life, or to appreciate our families, or to appreciate the job we have. or to appreciate the fact that we've always had good health, or to appreciate the fact that we live in a country where we have doctors and nurses and medicine and all these blessings that we enjoy, to appreciate the fact that we always have food on the table, to appreciate all these things, to appreciate your family, appreciate your mother and your father, your brothers, your sisters, your sons, your daughters, your cousins, all the people that are in your family. Jesus resigned himself to God's will. And we need to say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Many a time, many of us have had to pray that prayer and say, God, here's what we want. Here's what we're desiring. But we say, not our will be done, but thine be done as well. You have to believe God knows what is best. Because he is the all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving, all-giving Father, he knows what's the very best thing for you. And he may answer your prayer with a yes. He may say, that's exactly what you need. He may answer your prayer and say, yes, it's what you need, but I'll give you even a little more. He did that with King Solomon. He may say, no, that's not exactly what you need. You need something just a little bit different. I'll just turn it just a little bit different from what you're asking for. And he may say, you know, you need that, yes, that's what you need, but not now. You need to wait a little while. You develop some patience before I answer that with a yes. But God can say, no, that's not what you need. And we need to say, Father, if the answer is no, thy will be done. The answer is maybe, thy will be done. The answer is wait, thy will be done. Whatever the answer is, Father, thy will be done. Just resign ourselves totally. Jesus did. That's how Jesus could go through the mock trials. That's how he could go through the scourging. That's how he could go through the crown of thorns. He could go through the slapping, all the things that they did to him. Go through the crucifixion on the cross. All that because he prayed, thy will be done. It was God's loving will that he sent his son to die for our sins. You and I couldn't pay the price. There's no way in the world that we can pay the price for our sins. We can do all the good deeds we can think of. We can help everybody we want to help. We can do all the wonderful works that we can dream of, but it still will not pay for our sins. We have to have a blood sacrifice. It couldn't be our blood. Why? Because we've got sin. It had to be a sinless sacrifice. The only person that could do that was Jesus. And God said, this was the way for salvation. My son will pay the price. Jesus did pay that price. He went to Gethsemane and he went to the cross so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. Now you can expect that there are going to be some Gethsemanes in your life. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be problems. It's bound to happen. Job said, man is for a few days and full of trouble. It will happen. But Jesus is our example. Peter said we're to follow in his steps. And certainly we are to follow the example of Jesus when he was in Gethsemane praying to the Father. We certainly should take that example and say, I will follow my Savior, do what he did, be able to face the troubles and the problems of life. Now we're going to sing the invitation song. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do that this morning. You believe in Jesus, God's Son. You're willing to repent of your sins. If you're willing to confess the name of Christ, if you do believe in him as God's Son, you're willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins, the Lord will then wipe every sin away from your life. Every sin by the blood of Christ will make you pure and whole. At that point, according to the Bible, the Lord adds you to the church. We do not add you. We do not hold on anybody. We do not make that decision. The Bible says the Lord added the saved to the church, Acts 2:47. If you are willing to obey the gospel, God will add you to the church this morning. Maybe as a child of God, you have a little Christian life. Maybe you realize you need to start over, whatever your needs might be. Maybe you just want to have prayer. Pray for you or for somebody else, whatever your needs might be. We invite you to come and encourage you to come now while we stand.